by some 20 lengths. Here in this event, Secretariat has opened a 22-length lead. He is going to be the Triple Crown winner. Here comes Secretariat to the wire. An unbelievable, an amazing performance. He hits the finish 25 lengths in front.
To the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
From New York to California, three large Triple Crown prep races on the schedule today. Yeah, a little bit of a delayed opening, a little clock issue. Might be sort of like the 1973 Preakness, where they adjusted the time to give Secretariat the record. You heard there in the opening both calls of Secretariat's Belmont, Chick Anderson, Ray Height, with the calls of Secretariat's 1973 Belmont Stakes. The big statue dedication last week up in Ashland will have the second half of our two-part interview with Ron Turcotte late in the show. Yeah, we're going to try to stay on schedule here. A little bit of a late start, but we'll get everything in that we need to here on this edition on Off to the Races. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. We're going to do a little jockeying around ourselves, try and work this out. We have Seth Merrow joining us at 10:30 as part of Frank Vespi's feature, so we're going to try and stay on schedule with him. That's actually the only real live interview. We have Darrell Wood here in a few moments as well, as it's opening day at Shenandoah Downs, harness racing on a chilly, I tell you what, in the Shenandoah Valley, it can get quite chilly even in April in the mornings, and so a chilly start to their meet, but which will get hotter as the spring moves forward. We'll also speak with Ken McPeak. He has a long shot in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, opening weekend at Keeneland. Hopefully you have had a bowl of Burgoo or so in either yesterday or today. It probably tasted pretty good. The signature dish at Keeneland is, of course, the Burgoo, which is basically a twin of the Brunswick stew here in Virginia. So, yeah, full slate. John White joining us, Mr. California Man, joining us from California to talk about the Santa Anita Derby. He set the line for the Santa Anita Derby. This guy knows plenty about horse racing. We have that race covered, I assure you that. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. So we're going to try and jockey around a little bit. Let's do the race calls from last week. And what we'll do is start off with the Florida Derby in the Triple Crown prep season. We've talked about it all spring. No real standout. Nobody really stepping up. A couple of these horses being a little fallible. The Florida Derby broke that trend in Howe with its winner. The favorite in the race was Fierceness for trainer Todd Pletcher and Mr. Vitamin Water himself, Mike Rapoli, for Rapoli Stable. He was the one that everyone was trying to catch. Pete Aiello has the call of the Florida Derby.
But Johnny V still sitting pretty on Fierceness, who tries to sneak away. Quarters, 111-1, they run to the 5/16, and Fierceness, he is getting away, he's now four in front. Catalytic is second, Grandmo the first is third, on the outside, Frankie's Empire, Conquest Warrior at the rail, but they all have too much to do. Fierceness is putting on a show in Hallandale today. Fierceness, the real Fierceness, has showed up to South Florida, and he's crushing them in the Florida Derby. Fierceness geared down, and on his way to Louisville, Fierceness, authoritatively in the Florida Derby. He never had a threat.
13 and a half lengths in the Florida Derby, geared down, as Pete Aiello was calling. It's always a sign of a rout when the track announcer is only calling one name, and that's all you heard, Johnny V on Fierceness. And so he becomes one of the rare repeat He's not even a repeat winner, but what he did in the Florida Derby has caused his future wager, which you can bet on the Kentucky Derby this weekend, the last of the future wagers is upon us. He's down to 8-5 in the future wager for the Kentucky Derby some 4 weeks out. So, yeah, that was an impressive performance, standout. We're looking at Deterministic, who has two wins. He's right running today. Later today, Dornock with three straight wins, Endlessly has two straight wins. Forever Unbridled, you'll hear a little bit about him today on the show. He's undefeated, five straight wins, but no real standout except for now Fierceness. And then we had another one sort of reappear with the Arkansas Derby. Matt Dinnerman has the call of this race, which had Timberlake as the favorite. Kenny McPeak's Mystic Dan also in the field. Bob Baffert brought Muth to the Ozarks, and here is the call of the Arkansas Derby.
Around the fourth turn, there goes Muth to challenge Timberlake, and the race is on now. Muth on the outside, strides level. Timberlake back in second as Muth takes command. Muth and Juan Hernandez have a quarter mile more to get, and Hernandez gives them the cue to go, and Muth off the turn, still in front. Timberlake second, Jess Steele third, then Mystic Dan, who tries to rally on. Furlong to go, it's Muth. Jess Steele running huge in second, Timberlake third. Muth with a 16th to go, he's opened up by three, and it's Muth coming down the stretch in Hot Springs to win it. Muth, the son of Good Magic, wins the Arkansas Derby.
Impressive win by Muth. So, yeah, Bob Baffert, does he or does he not have a horse for the Kentucky Derby? Might have to wait till Monday. They've actually, the owner of the horse, Amir Zidane, has filed for an injunction that will be heard Monday, trying to get Muth into the Kentucky Derby. Points-wise, he's fine, but being the trainer of record as being Baffert and this silly little tussle between Churchill Downs and Baffert, the Baffert camp, they not have to see if the court will rule in their favor and allow those 100 points and Moot's points to allow him to enter the Derby. Bit of a reach, but hopefully it might be a step toward ending this senseless feud between Churchill Downs and Baffert. And I have to say, I don't see how they rule in the favor of Baffert on this matter, because there's a 21st horse that will be created by that. If you put Muth in the Derby starting gate, you're moving one out outside of the rules that were predetermined. But at the same time, it's this thing with Baffert and the suspensions by Churchill has to end. It's just silly to have the two separated over what is really egos. Going to reach out here for Daryl Wood here on off to the races this morning. He's up at Shenandoah, and try and get him on here before we bring on Seth Merrow, who's the host of Capital OTB. Frank Vespi will carry that interview here in about 5 minutes. Let's reach out to Woodstock today, where they have a chilly morning going on, and see if we have Daryl Wood. Daryl, are you there? A little later than I expected this morning.
Morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? A little bit of a late start coming out of the starting gate, but we're going to get everything in here, even if we have to run a little bit past the wire to see how we close out here a little bit. But how is everything at Shenandoah this morning? Shenandoah Downs opening day, free parking, free admission. Maybe some shirts. Hopefully they're long sleeves, because it's probably a little chilly. That north wind is cold this morning.
Yeah, no, it's, man, it's always great to be part of an opening day, no matter if it's Thoroughbreds, Harness, or Steeplechase, or whatever sport it might be. But, yeah, we kick off our ninth season today at 1:05 p.m. We got nine races on the card. It's been raining all week here, raining, cold, and windy. And it's the sun's out, and we've got to run the clear here for the next 2 days. We're racing today and tomorrow. So, yeah, no, looking forward to getting back at it here for 7 weeks.
What are some of the events looming ahead? Talked a little bit about Scuffletown and Eli Cook, two bumper bands for Off to the Races getting together on Derby Day up there.
Yeah, we've got, we're using some of the Charlottesville bands here to try to bring some Charlottesville folks out to the races. So we're giving fans, first time ever since we're racing in spring again, Derby and Preakness Day, we're going to have big events both days. Folks can come up here and bet the harness races, of course, but also bet the full card simulcasting from Churchill and Pimlico both those days. So something we've never done before. And again, just looking to get more people exposed to this this great product we've got here in just a real charming environment. It's we've talked about this before, but we're nestled between two mountain ranges. This is old school, 130-year history of racing in Woodstock, Virginia. So it's a lot different. It's old school. It's a throwback. It's free. It's laid back, and it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. A worthy stop on your spring schedule has to be the town of Woodstock and Shenandoah Downs with the racing. What are the giveaways today, and what are some of the giveaways coming up through the meet?
Yeah, we got a heck of a T-shirt. I think it's the best one, best giveaway we've ever had, and this includes going back years and years at Colonial Downs. But we got a stunning T-shirt we're giving out today to the first 500 folks. We've got ball caps, ski hats, all kinds of stuff. It's all at ShenandoahDowns.com. I want to remind folks that we are simulcasting our signal now. You can bet this on any online, via any online betting company, at any Rosie site in the state, or if you're listening elsewhere, pretty much any OTB around the country. So check us out. We're up and coming on the move forward.
And so hopefully will be the weather. You know, the days get longer, the weather gets warmer from here on out. So, yeah, looking forward. Daryl, thanks a lot. Have a great opening day, 105 post time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Great. Daryl Wood joining us from Daryl Woodstock, Virginia, today as Shenandoah Downs. Just a real quaint, great place to see racing. Especially like if a little bit of an off week or something like that, maybe you can catch it before the Derby kicks in on the first Saturday. It may be a great weekend to get up there. We're going to a little bit of a late start for those of us maybe joining us after the gates open, going up the backstretch a little bit here. So just kind of jockeying some of our segments around on Off to the Races this morning. We'll be going a little bit longer than 11 o'clock here as we get everything in on this busy, the last real big day before the Triple Crown starts on the first Saturday in May with the Kentucky Derby, with the three big preps, the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass Stakes, and the Santa Anita Derby all today. Next week they run the Lexington Stakes, a small point race, and that'll be it. That'll be the last one. So, we talked to you about Fierceness. We talked to you about Muth. We talked to you a little bit about Forever Young, who was an impressive winner out in the UAE Derby, got that race on the schedule the race call on the show last week, about 10 minutes after it ended. A great ride there by Ryusei Saki, the jockey there on Forever Young, a horse that looks like will provide one of the better chances of that Dubai Derby winner to win the Kentucky Derby. Living the dream here with Frank Vespi, so let's play a little bit of his bumper music and get going with his guest, who will appear. He'll be the only one on schedule today, Seth Merrow, who will join us on Off to the Races. Let's hear a little bit of the bumper. Bring in Frank Vespi to Off to the Races. Frank,
hello, Nick Hahn.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? Pretty crazy
everything.
Week. Yeah.
I'd say that's right. All kinds of interesting stuff, but if you wanted to hear more about the Iowa-UConn women's basketball game yesterday, that's what Mel Kiper and friends were talking about in our first 10 minutes. So all kinds of stuff going on, but let me dive in here and see if we can kind of keep the trains running on time before we bring Seth in. Just wanted to do a quick look at our Laurel Park feature race of the day presented by our friends at the Maryland Jockey Club. going to take a swing on a little pick three here, starting in race seven at Laurel today. That's a maiden special. It's a nice sequence of races here. We got a maiden special weight for three-year-olds going a mile. We got a third-level allowance for older horses going five and a half. And then we got an A other than an optional allowance, optional claimer for three-year-old fillies going a mile. First leg of the sequence, this maiden special weight, couple obvious horses, the three and the six, Blue Kingdom, 5-2 morning line, F35, 2-1 morning line. Going to add in the seven here, though. That's Northern Cardinal, who's 10-1 on the morning line. Pretty willing debut for this runner in a maiden race at Penn National. And what I liked about it is had a little trouble, stuck with it pretty well, and that was going a mile, a two-turn race on debut for this runner, stuck with it, beating a length and a quarter for all of it. Second start here for this runner for trainer Hugh McMahon. McMahon's 16% second start maiden. So 3-6-7 in the seventh race. Second leg of the sequence, the eighth race, we're going to go 2-3, the three, Tenebris, coming off a good third place finish in the General George. A horse that he's 7-2 on the morning line for Bruno Tesore, Gene Brasino up. The favorite in here is a horse named Murray. That's the four horse. We're going to toss Murray. Murray comes out of a very tough race, the grade three toboggan, 5 of 6 to run back from there, finished in the triple in their follow-ups. But I think Murray wants a little more ground than the 5.5 furlong. So we're going to leave Murray off the ticket. In Murray's stead, we're going to use Golden Candy, first time in the Farrier Barn after a $40,000 claim. This guy, unlike Murray, who I think wants more ground, this guy loves this 5.5 furlong trip. 6 wins in 14 tries going 5.5 furlongs, 12 times in the money. So go 2-3 there. Last leg, going to go 2-4. The 4, I'm not loving the 4. I think the 4 is going to get bet down off the 9-5 morning line, which doesn't make me very happy, but kind of don't want to get beaten by her in the last leg. Also going to use the 2. I'm a cutie pie. Source has already won this race 2 different times, so certainly fits with these. That's a $6 ticket. It's a 50-cent pick three going 3-6-7 with 2-3 with 2-4 starting in race 7. Thanks to our friends at Laurel Park for sponsoring that. Now let us bring in our friend of the show, Seth Mara. I want to bring Seth on to talk about the Wood Memorial taking place at the Big A today at Aqueduct, Grade 2 Wood Memorial, $750,000 on the line and a spot in the Kentucky Derby. Seth, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. And I was listening. I'm focused on some Keeneland and some Aqueduct, but a $6 pick three at Laurel, I'll put a ticket in.
Attaboy. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call the guys at Laurel and say if Seth bets, I want a cut. So, what do we make of this? We got a whole bunch of horses in this Wood Memorial today. What's your take?
Yeah, it is a big full field, and Deterministic is deservedly gonna take action. There's no question about it. But there's the Future Pool this weekend. And I would say to people, go to the Kentucky Derby website and you can pull up PPs for the 40 entrants. And you look down, and obviously they're the 40 contenders. And it's been a prep season where nobody has kind of backed up their last performance or put two together. Let's put it that way. Fierceness last week looked great, but he was coming off the poor performance prior. Sierra Leone gets the chance to do it today, and maybe does. Mystic Dan last week had come out of the big triple-digit win down at Oaklawn, but couldn't back it up last week. So I'm going to take a little pop against Deterministic. I'm going to take a shot with Tuscan Sky in here, the Todd Pletcher runner that has run very well in 2 starts. Now, the last win at Fairgrounds, I think was meant to be a confidence builder for Nash, and he didn't get it. But subsequently, he came back and won a mile stakes race at Oaklawn a couple of weeks ago that I think provided his confidence builder. But I think given that he did come back and won that stakes race, I think flattered Tuscan Sky, albeit it was a 3-horse field. It was over a sloppy track, and he's only been on a muddy track and a sloppy track in the two starts, but he's done very well. I will say, if you look at the breeding on Tuscan Sky, there's a sibling called Private Creed that was very good. 5 wins and 12 starts. All of those wins, however, were sprinting on turf. But this horse has dirt form. Vino Rosso, the sire, was a Breeders' Cup Classic winner, so obviously went long on dirt. It's Pletcher. It's Spendthrift. I'm going to take a little shot there, again, because nobody of this prep season has kind of gone back-to-back. And Deterministic looked great in the first two starts, including the Gotham. But he only has the two starts, and his Gotham win was over a sloppy track. And you look up his breeding, he has some interesting siblings of some winners, but not stakes quality. There's a sibling for Deterministic, a sibling called Frills. 10 wins and 29 career starts, but never did try a stakes race. There's another sibling called New Pylanda, 28 starts, 1 win, 6 seconds, 5 thirds, but no stakes tries. So has nice, performing siblings, but not at this level. Given what we saw in the Gotham, Deterministic is the one to beat. But again, there's enough there for me to kind of find an interesting couple of angles to take a little pop against. So I have Tuscan Sky over Deterministic. And then I'm going to roll the dice in the third spot, 30-1 on the morning line. Pletcher and Rapoli have Protective in the race. And I thought Protective's debut effort was a good-looking try early in the Saratoga meet last summer. Ran second behind Valentine Candy. And that one turned out to be a nice one for Asmussen. At the Oaklawn meet this year, Valentine Candy won 3 stakes races. So that was a pretty good debut effort against a nice horse. Now, the follow-up in the seasonal debut down at Tampa was not as exciting, perhaps. But Tampa can be a funny track. It was the debut effort for the season, first time around 2 turns. I'm going to look for an improved performance, kind of looking at that debut effort going back to last summer at Saratoga for Protective. So a 30-1, I'll have that in the mix. El Grande O just never misses the board for Linda Rice, who is just going crazy the last week or so. And Resilience for Bill Mott also has a little bit of interest for me. But Tuscan Sky is my slight swing against Deterministic in the wood.
I'm noting no love there for Uncle Heavy, the PA bred for Butch Reed, who won the Withers in his last start. Why are you hating on the Mid-Atlantic horse, Seth?
I had been high on the Park Shippers almost from the beginning of the meet. Park Shippers in New York don't attract my attention, but when you get to the winter time, you can start to look, and this winter in particular, and Butch Reed has brought in horses like this to New York this winter and done well, including Uncle Heavy. I just was a little bit against the post position. I think he's going to be up against it from the outside this afternoon. Can he win? Absolutely. But at the post position, I thought others were a little more intriguing.
Now, one question. I feel like the New York road to the Kentucky Derby is incoherent. We've got the Withers is 1 1/8 miles in February. Then the next logical race is the Gotham, which is a cut back to 1 mile. Now we're back at 1 1/8 miles. I don't think that's helping New York produce horses that could contend in the Kentucky Derby. Am I wrong about this?
My take is the 21st century game has just changed the landscape in a way that doesn't benefit New York Derby preps. I mean, it used to be the Wood Memorial was 2 weeks out. And two weeks out means you're in the middle of April, which is much better weather-wise. Well, trainers these days, 2 weeks out, you're not going to get anybody. Years ago, when I first got into the game, to have your Derby prep 5 or 6 weeks out was unheard of. But that's what trainers look for now. But weather-wise, it's just people have other, trainers have other venues they can kind of focus on. And I think that the prep schedule down at Oaklawn has become much more popular over the last few years. Fairgrounds, that you're farther away from the Derby with the Louisiana Derby, but trainers can accept that now. So I think weather and the calendar has worked against New York a little bit on their Derby prep schedule over, as I say, the past, probably it's been getting more and more in that direction in the past 20 years or so.
Yeah, no, I think those are both really good points. We're talking with Seth Marrow. Seth, the host of Racing Across America on Capital OTB TV, also the founder of the Equidaily news aggregation horse racing website. Seth, so you alluded to this earlier, the inconsistency of a number of runners. You know, you get Fierceness, who runs a clunker and then looks like Secretariat. You get a bunch of horses like that, you know, run a good one, run a bad one. Where does that leave you as we're heading towards the Kentucky Derby? Do you have who you looking for as the kind of horses that could take that step?
I mean, Fierceness was phenomenal last week, and the question is, and everybody was kind of hypothesizing, he's a horse who can't face any adversity. And if you can't face any adversity, the 20-horse Kentucky Derby is not really your cup of tea. But I'm not sure, I don't know whether that's absolutely defined with him yet. And that performance the other day was just so phenomenal. I pulled up the future pool odds, and I think he's 7-5 currently. I would not take him at 7-5 on a future wager, but boy, he certainly looked good. Sierra Leone, again, has the chance to be one horse on this trail that can string a couple together if he gets something done this afternoon down at Keeneland. Otherwise, you're kind of catching Freedom, I thought, looked good. You're looking for horses that in the last round of preps were kind of running. Last week, I must say, I talk about the short price for Fierceness on the future pool. I took a little pop against him on this inconsistent theory last week with Catalytic, who ran very well at a big price to run second. That said, he's sitting at, I want to say 80-1. There was a big price on Catalytic in the future pool. I'm not sure I'm jumping on him on the second place finish last week, but I think you can look for horses with the good performances to be interesting. Yeah, I don't think you want a horse going into the Derby off a dud, but you don't necessarily want one coming in off a big win either. I think Fierceness is going to attract a lot of attention. I like him, but again, if they can't string them together in the prep season, will they string them together last prep in Kentucky Derby? I don't know, but today I think is going to help define things, certainly, if somebody can, like Sierra Leone, step up and maybe string a couple together. In the bluegrass, I'm taking a little shot with BU because I'm not sure Sierra Leone can string a couple together. But I think after today, we'll have a little more of an idea. Deterministic is another one that has a chance to string a couple together and send himself to the Derby in fine fashion. So it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out today. And if we can get one or two that go into it on a little string of good performances.
All right, good place to leave it. Big day coming up, 3 Derby preps, and somebody might step forward and start to catch our eye a little bit. Seth Marrow, thanks so much for joining me here on Off to the Races, and good luck this afternoon.
Appreciate it. Good luck to everybody out there. It should be a big, fun day of racing.
All right. Sounds good. Nick Hahn, that's the word from the Empire State.
I like the way he picks. That's my pick today in the Wood Memorial. So yeah, some great handicappers on the show today. So Seth Marrow amongst the best. And hopefully we agree on the horse. I like agreeing with experts, Frank.
I don't know. That's a lot to ask any horse to carry you and Seth, but hopefully you guys are right. I mean 7-5 is pretty. That's a short line on a horse that's made 2 starts in a Grade 2 stakes. So
yeah, it might be a little rah-rah there with Christophe Clement trying to get that horse to the Derby. You know, a little bit of backing there, betting for what you wish versus what you think. You know,
yeah. No, it seems to me like it's worth sniffing around some other choices here as well. And I like the way you guys are thinking. I won't get on him because I don't want to do that to you, but I think Tuscan Sky is a pretty interesting contender here.
Yeah, next week we have to talk about the the Preakness next week. We'll have some time here before the Derby, some news out of Baltimore. On the Racing Biz, by the way, if you want to read about what could be Churchill's interest in Pimlico, Frank has it on the Racing Biz. Thanks, Frank.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
Appreciate it there. Frank Vespi with Seth Merrow, another dynamite handicapper. We're going to bring him in from the West Coast. Had an opportunity to talk to a guy who has spent decades following California and West Coast racing, originally from Washington State. John White spent some time with me yesterday. He sets the morning line out at Santa Anita. This is a former chart caller, writer, steward, host of HRTV, does work for ExpressBet, has been setting the line at Santa Anita for 11 years. And I asked him about his thoughts on the Santa Anita Derby. This is John White.
You, as you say, this is really an important race. Not only in California, but nationally, it's produced a flock of Kentucky Derby winners through the years. In fact, it produced the most recent Triple Crown winner in Justify, who won the Santa Anita Derby on his way to the Triple Crown. Unfortunately for him, he recently had that race taken away from him through disqualification. In fact, that just happened here just a few days ago. And nevertheless, I was able to bet $100 on Justify before his first race to win the Kentucky Derby, and the odds I got through a friend in Las Vegas were 100-1. So that was a $10,000 victory for me when Justify won the Kentucky Derby. So thankfully for me, he was in the race and won the race. And this year we have a field of eight. I installed Imagination, trained by Bob Baffert. Baffert trained Justify. And Baffert has trained a record number of Santa Anita Derby winners. Imagination, I installed him as the 8-5 morning line favorite. As the second choice here is Stronghold, who I put at 5-2. And he is certainly a strong contender in this race. And then co-third choices, I have Topolo, trained by John Sheriff, John Sadler, I should say. And John Sadler trained the great Flight Line, who was the horse of the year when he was recently running and before going off to stud and never lost a race. And Sadler did a fantastic job training him. And then another John Sheriff, trains McVeigh, who I as the co-third choice on the morning line at 5-1. And he's a maiden, so he hasn't ever won a race yet. But he's not your typical maiden. He's coming into the race off a couple of starts in graded stakes company. He finished fourth in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes that was won by the Baffert-trained Nysos. Nysos had been pointed for this race by Baffert, but suffered a setback and right now was out of training temporarily. But Nysos would have been about a 1-5 favorite in this race as he looked fantastic in all of his races so far. He's undefeated, but like I say, suffered a bit of a setback. And McVeigh cost $1.25 million at public auction. And not only did he finish fourth in the Robert B. Lewis, but he came back and finished third in the Grade II San Felipe Stakes. Now, the San Felipe winner was Imagination. And in the San Felipe, McVeigh finished almost seven lengths behind Imagination. But considering McVeigh cost over $1 million and he's in the capable hands of John Sheriff's, best known as the trainer of the legendary Zenyatta, but John Sheriff's also won a Kentucky Derby with Giacomo. And there have been some people that kind of draw a comparison between McVeigh and Giacomo in that Giacomo took a while to kind of come around, and it looks like McVeigh is coming around. He's blossoming maybe right at the right time. He's had a couple of very sharp workouts. Most recently, he really caught the attention of a lot of people when he went out and drilled 5 furlongs in 59 flat, which was the best of 129 works at that distance that morning. So that could be a real tip-off that McVeigh is going to maybe run better in the Santa Anita Derby than he has so far. So that's why I made him the co-third choice on the morning line, even though he is a maiden. But I think Imagination deserves favoritism. I think he is the one to beat. I think he'll be very, very tough to defeat. And one reason I say that is I spoke with Bob Baffert recently about Imagination, and he cost over $1 million himself, did this colt, by Into Mischief. And it's kind of taken him maybe a little while to put it all together. He got beat in his first couple of starts, which is disappointing when you pay over $1 million for a horse. But then he finally got his first win on New Year's Day. And then in a race that he faced a really highly regarded three-year-old at the Baffert Barn, May Moon, who was supposed to be in the Santa Anita Derby. And at the last minute, Bob Baffert changed his mind and decided not to run May Moon in this race. But Imagination and May Moon put on quite a show here. That was Super Bowl Sunday. I won't forget it because I had a pretty good-sized bet on May Moon. And Imagination looked like an absolute cinch to win the race in mid-stretch. And May Moon had to re-rally after relinquishing the lead to come back on and snatch the win by a neck. But Imagination was floated out wide early in that race, so he didn't have the best of trips that day. And then last time in the San Felipe, Imagination showed a lot of heart. He was bumped hard going into the first turn and still won the race. And Baffert, when I was chatting with him, was really singing the praises of Imagination and saying how much he really was impressed with the heart that Imagination showed to win that race, the San Felipe, despite getting bumped so hard going into that first turn. So you get one of the greatest jockeys of all time and Frankie Dettori aboard Imagination. So that's another plus. And Dettori was riding Imagination for the first time in that San Felipe. So now he knows him even better. So I expect Imagination to win, but I have a lot of respect for Stronghold, who won the Grade 3 Sunland Derby in New Mexico last time out. And as I say, kind of the wild card here is McVeigh.
Yeah. I mean, you have Baffert represented here. This is this race right here with the eight entries. It's a bigger field, right, than it's been in past years, but it really represents Baffert, D'Amato, O'Neill, you know, all the trainers that have sent horses here. You know, how does this race over the years has had California Chrome, and I'll have another Justify, as you mentioned. You know, how does this race set up?
Winning Colors, Sunday Silence. I mean, you can go on and on through the history of this race.
Pre-house.
There were eight starters. There were eight starters in the race last year when it was won by Practical Move, and then the 2 years before that, there were six starters. But as recently as 2021, when Rock Your World won it for Sadler in an upset over the Baffert-trained Medina Spirit, who would go on to finish first in the Kentucky Derby before being disqualified for a medication violation. But Rock Your World winning at 5-1, and that was a nine-horse field.
It really sets up well. How about some of the other races on the card? The Santa Anita Oaks, maybe that is a five horse field. How does that race look this year?
Well, that looks like it's Baffert too, because he's sending out a filly that's looked absolutely awesome so far. She's 3-for-3. She hasn't been tested. She's run really impressive speed figures, and her name is Kinza. She's going to be a very heavy favorite. I made her 4-5, so I have her at odds on, meaning less than even money. But it's a rematch with Copian, trained by Richard Mandela. Those two, when they squared off last time out, you know, it was really quite a showdown between two very impressive fillies. And Kinza won the race and won it by two lengths. But I know that they're still very high on Copian over there at the barn of Hall of Famer Richard Mandela. So here's two very good fillies. They both have Hall of Fame trainers. Kinza will be ridden once again, as she has been in all of the races so far, by Juan Hernandez, who's the top jockey at Santa Anita in wins. And Copian has a Hall of Fame jockey in Mike Smith. And so those two are the main players in this race. I mean, Copian, a second choice at a short price as well at 9-5. There's some intrigue in this race for a filly by the name of Corposo, trained by Peter Urton. And her breeder and co-owner is Nick Casado, who's a longtime jockey agent here in Southern California. And in fact, he had a very big future book bet on Justify for the Kentucky Derby as well, even bigger than my $100 bet at 100-1. He had a $300 bet at much bigger odds, so he did extremely well in the Kentucky Derby with Justify because he had seen him train at Santa Anita. And, in fact, I got my bet in on Justify just a little bit after Nick Casado got his bet in at the Wynn, back when the Wynn had a future book on the Kentucky Derby, which they don't have it these days like they did back then because John Avello was running it. But then you also have Nothing Like You, who won the Desert Ardennes and the Grade 2 Starlet at Los Alamitos, but was well beaten by Kenza and Copian and the Las Virgenes. So it really looks like another showdown in the rematch between Kenza and Copian. But again, kind of a wild card in this race is this Corposo from the Peter Urton barn. And she's a half-sister to Drain the Clock, who Casado owned as the Slam Dunk racing stable. And he was a Grade 1 winner. He was a sprinter. But Corposo is by a Breeders' Cup Classic winner in Vino Rosso. Vino Rosso is by Curlin, who was a 2-time Horse of the Year. So very nice breeding here for Corposo. And she's only run twice. She was beaten first time out, but came back and went further. She stretched out to two turns to go a mile and was very game in victory, eking out a nose win. But she looks like she's got a lot of upside, that filly. That, boy, they're going to have their hands full trying to outrun this Kenza. Kenza has won her races by 7 1/4 lengths. She won that race against Copian by 2 lengths and then came back and cruised home to a 5-length win as a heavy favorite in the Grade 3 Santa Isabel. So, again, Kenza will be a heavy favorite and deservedly so, considering she has not tasted defeat so far after 3 career starts to this point.
We have about 3 minutes left. Want to go back to the Triple Crown. We hear you, especially like on Steve Bick's show, talk about the strike system. What nationwide or even perhaps internationally wide, how does the Triple Crown set up with you with the strike system?
Well, the strike system I developed many years ago, and what it is I've got 8 categories, and when you don't qualify in that category, you get a strike. And history shows that the vast majority of Kentucky Derby winners have had 0 strikes, 1 strike, or 2 strikes. If you get more than 2, you're really in big trouble. But it's really preferable to have 0 or 1. And, for instance, the horse I like right now for the Kentucky Derby, while Fierceness is clearly the favorite for the Kentucky Derby at this point, Forever Young, who is undefeated and started his career in Japan. And in Japan, he completed his 2-year-old season with 3 wins out of 3 starts. He's the highest rated dirt horse as a 2-year-old in the history of racing in Japan. He won a $1.5 million race in Saudi Arabia in his first start this year, and he only got one by a nose, but he beat a very good American horse in that race in Bookham Dana, who had romped to a big victory at Tampa Bay Downs in Florida. And it was actually a pretty good race just for him to show that heart to get up and win in the last jump. And then he won the UAE Derby last time out by 2 lengths, more or less toying with the competition. And I think he is an extremely talented horse, and his trainer won 2 Breeders' Cup races at Del Mar in 2021, which shows you what that trainer is capable of. And that horse, Forever Young, has 0 strikes on my Derby strike system. A lot of people aren't going to like him because of the fact that horses that have started in the UAE Derby are a combined 0-for-19 in the Kentucky Derby. But I think this is by far the best horse, even better than Dermo Sotogaki last year. Even though Dermo Sotogaki won the UAE Derby in faster time, I think this is a better horse than Dermo Sotogaki. Dermo Sotogaki did not win the Saudi Derby. This horse did. But the key is this is a trainer who is very proficient at having a horse at their peak for a big race. And he's been pointing this horse to the Kentucky Derby all along. And I expect this horse, I think there's still improvement in this horse. And I think he's going to have a big say in the Kentucky Derby. You know, if fierceness, the real fierceness shows up that we saw in the Breeders' Cup and we saw in the Florida Derby, there's no question he's going to be extremely tough to beat. He'll be the heavy favorite, deservedly so, but he's thrown in a couple of clunkers, and he better bring his A game if he's going to beat, to me, Forever Young, who, as I say, has zero strikes on my Derby strike system. Now, fierceness is in good shape strike-wise, too. He's only got one, so it's not like he's, you know, in bad shape strike-wise. But the thing is, Forever Young's going to be a much better price in the Kentucky Derby. And we've seen the Japan horses do so well on the world stage in recent years. I mean, they're winning races left and right all over the globe. I think it's only a matter of time before they win the Kentucky Derby, and I think this is their best chance yet.
Thanks a lot for coming on to talk about the strike system and the racing today. Enjoy the racing today at Santa Anita. Appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure, and always happy to talk racing.
Yeah, that was John White joining us on Off to the Races. We're going to head to break. His strike system, by the way, is listed on expressbet.com. So if, one of the advanced deposit wagering platforms here in Virginia you can legally wager on. Interesting strike system. Covers everything from racing as a two-year-old to the gelding system to the where you sat on the graded stakes. So you can find those strikes there. He is the California man, John White, joining us on Off to the Races. When we come back, we'll speak with Ron Turcotte. Ken McPeak still ahead on this extended edition of Off to the Races.
Horses are at the gate and ready for action this spring at Shenandoah Downs in Woodstock. A big seven-week season of harness horse racing kicks off on Saturday, April 6th with a commemorative t-shirt giveaway to the first 500 fans. Racing continues Sunday, April 7th with $2 canned beer, dollar hot dogs, and more weekend giveaways courtesy of Standing Stallions. Watch, wager, and win every weekend through May 19th, including Kentucky Derby and Preakness Day. Parking and admission are always free. Details are at shenandoahdowns.com.
Nothing compares to a horse. They inspire greatness, command respect. Because Virginia's horse industry isn't just racing and farming. It's built on the skills, labors, and passions of dedicated people working in every industry throughout our state. Horses fuel the economy, create jobs, support thousands of families, and even make dreams come true. Virginia's economy wins with horses. Find out more at virginiahorseracing.com.
Kind of riding away here, little extended edition of Off to the Races. Had a slow start this morning, so we're not into 2-hour shows just yet. They will return, by the way, when Colonial Downs starts racing July 11th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, racing at Colonial Downs for 9 weeks, all the way up through, I think it's September 7th, and we're a little bit kind of on the ride out here on Off to the Races. Last week, I had the opportunity to speak with Ron Turcotte. This was a part of the Secretariat dedication, the statue dedication in Ashland, which was just a big event. Got a chance to send some pictures to Ron Turcotte that Daryl Wood had sent me. And good crowd out there. Nice day for it all. And we aired the first part of Ron Turcotte's interview with me, and we'll do the second part here as Ron Turcotte, let's maybe just get his thoughts on Jacqueline Russell's statue and what he thought about the statue.
Oh, it's beautiful. I've been in Virginia. I was hoping for Richmond, but it's beautiful that we're finally getting in Virginia, the Secretariat's birthplace. Leonard Lesky of Secretariat.com really did a great job, and Yes, it's a huge statue. Jocelyn Russell really done a great job, and she spent a whole summer traveling him last year on the 50th anniversary from Kentucky to Baltimore, Pimlico, and then to Saratoga, and brought it back to where it's at now. She really worked hard at it.
That's jockey Ron Turcotte, the jockey, of course, of Secretariat. Just monumental win in 1973. In many ways, it was so big we have a hard time getting past it because it was just so extraordinary. And of course, the Virginia bred Meadow Farm there, getting a statue dedication there just off of the Randolph-Macon campus. Ron Turcotte, 82 years old, has been a paraplegic since 1978 when he was in a spill. And so I asked him, how is he doing? I asked him about his health and his ability to travel. You know, what he does these days.
Oh, I'm doing all right. I don't travel anymore. My doctor stopped me from traveling. 2018 was the last time. I'm driving home, I got tendonitis in my arm and that. And then he stopped me from traveling. Well, besides traveling far and the big overnight places and that, and he said, you dodge too many bullets now. He says, you can't keep on dodging them.
Yeah, so, Ron Turcotte still doing well, still sharp, still follows the sport. The more and more I learn about Ron Turcotte and Secretariat, and the story behind Secretariat, it is amazing, not only the accomplishment, but all the small little things that went right in terms of Secretariat winning that Triple Crown in that manner. Ron Turcotte almost was not a jockey. He had $50 in his pocket. He was heading back to New Brunswick from Ontario, and somebody suggested that he go by the racetrack and see if he can earn a little money that way. He becomes a hot walker, later a jockey, and it was a great thing he did, obviously. The other thing was, and this is very important to Ron, was Riva Ridge. The Chenery farm was not doing so well. Mr. Chenery was a little ill. He was going through some illnesses, and it was Riva Ridge. Without Riva Ridge, you didn't have Secretariat, and Ron Turcotte feels real strong about this. Mentioned this last week in our first segment, and also again how important Riva Ridge is.
I really don't know what would have happened if I didn't get on Riva Ridge and school and reschooled him when he was a very green horse running his first two races. And I went to Lucian and I told him he had the best two-year-old in North America. And he said, "You'll be eating those horses." I said, "Why?" He says, "You rode Northern Dancer, you rode Tom Raw." He named a bunch of horses that I had ridden. I says, "I'm telling you, give me 30 days, reschool this horse." And I says, he'll be a real good horse. And turn out, I was right. We went on and win the Derby, well, we champion three-year-old. Won the Derby, the Bluegrass. He didn't like mud, so he got beat in the Preakness, but he got back and ran a mile and a half right after and won the Belmont. I'm so proud of him. The work I done with him really pleased me that he became the horse he did. He'd have been known as a real big name. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame, but if he wasn't running in the shadow of Secretariat.
Yeah, that's Ron Turcott, 82 years old, speaking about Riva Ridge. You would not have had Secretariat, not as we know him, without Riva Ridge. So what a great ambassador in terms of Secretariat, 51 years later, getting the statue dedication on his birthday in Ashland last week. I asked Turcott about just the longevity, how the story of Secretariat 51 years later, what it was like riding him and still riding him after 51 years, the longevity of the impact of Secretariat. Here's what Turcott had to say.
Yes, I am surprised at that. But me being on him, feeling the way he was, and reacting to my every action, when to relax, when to pick it up, and stuff like that, you know, we carry him all day, to run all day. And then we found out why he could run all day like that with his huge heart.
A huge heart that is displayed in the movie and in several documentaries. So, yeah, great dedication last week in Ashland, and I almost wish they'd didn't mount that statue there, because I think it'd be great to keep him on wheels, because it's just such a, if you're in the Ashland area, go by and take a look at it, snap your picture with it. It is a wonderful looking statue, and we've had a lot of fun with it, but finally finds a home in Ashland. We're going to head on to our next segment here. You're listening to Off to the Races, a little bit of an extended version, kind of being ridden out past the finish line here with a late start. I'm your host, Nick Hahn. Earlier in the show, we did speak with Seth Merrow and John White and Daryl Wood. I had a chance to catch up with Ken McPeak this morning briefly as he's preparing to run Lat Long in the Bluegrass Stakes, one of three preps on the last of the Derby major preps on the road to the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. Ken McPeak, always a great guest on the show, big friend of the show, and knows something about winning the Bluegrass Stakes. He's done it twice, once with Harlan's Holiday and Java's War, also won this race for McPeak back in 2013. Hadn't won it in a while, but I asked McPeak about his two big Derby starters this year, Common Defense as being one of them, and Mystic Dan the other. Here's what he had to say.
Well, fortunate, two really nice horses. The great thing, the cool thing about Mystic Dan is that we actually raised him at our farm, Magdalena Farm in Lexington. I purchased his mother as a young horse off Ted Bassett, former president of Keeneland, and then we raced her, and she ran out at about 300,000 plus, and then we bred her, did the mating, and we've got a horse that's got a real chance to win the Derby, and so that's exciting. And then Common Defense is a horse that was a $9,000 reserve not attained young horse, so that's another one that's kind of an outside chance, but lovely horse, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, Mystic Dan ran third, a little bit of a trouble trip last week in Arkansas, but it wasn't a bad Saturday for you. Four wins on the card, including a Torpedo Anna in the Fantasy Stakes. Brian Hernandez really delivered for you.
He does a great job, you know, consummate professional, and he's a guy that I depend on him, and timing-wise, he knows how to get it done. But, Brian, a big part of the team, and I don't know if he makes me look good or I make him look good, but either or, we're getting it done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He'll have your horse today, Lat Long, in the Bluegrass Stakes. You have Door Knock in here, Sierra Leone, the two big horses here. But then the field sort of opens up. You got a chance here in a pretty deep field. What would it mean to a Lexingtonian like you to win the Bluegrass Stakes with a long shot on opening weekend?
Well, I've won it with a long shot before, so... So we've done that. But here's the story on, or the backstory on this colt. We strung together some races as a two-year-old, and we were real happy. He showed good talent. He actually ran behind some really nice horses, but was always competitive. And then we ran him in the Le Comp at the fairgrounds, and it was a race that I was mostly pleased with. But I told the owner, I said, you know, Scott Leeds, primary owner on the horse, and I said, Scott, if he's ever going to be a really top horse, he needs a little more time. He needs to fill out. We need to space this race and take our best shot with him. And we came up with the Bluegrass as an option. And he's got to find another level. Like I said, he's shown he's a nice horse, but is he of the caliber of Sierra Leone or Dornak or some others? Remains to be seen and proven. So he's got today to give it his best. And, you know, we feel like we're taking a horse over there that's doing really well, that has talent, but he at this point has shown to be a notch below on the speed figures. And today's his day to show otherwise.
A little bit of a layoff, as you mentioned, but a nice bullet work at Churchill last weekend. That sort of gives him a little bit of upswing coming into this race, maybe a little bit of sneaky momentum.
I think that track's playing pretty fast over there this spring. You know, they resurfaced it a bit, and I think that the initial times of the workouts were much quicker than normal. But, you know, all that's kind of relative. We just wanted a maintenance breeze, and you know, the fact that he went 46 and change was a bit of an eye opener, even for me. But it wasn't planned. My preference is that he, you know, gave us a 48 or so. But in hindsight, you can't do anything about it. And horse came out of the work good. And this morning we're bringing him over from Churchill, and he'll get a chance to. You know, we'll feed him about 6 hours out, and then make sure he eats up, and bring him over.
Want to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners about the Horses Now app. I'm signed up, registered member, but tell us a little bit about the Horses Now app. It's something that you don't see many trainers producing apps.
Well,
tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I guess it's you know, it's a passion project for me. For those out there that don't know what Nick's talking about, years back we created a horse racing app called Horses Now, and you can go on your iPhone or your Android phone and easily download the app. But what it does is that you can check entries, results. In some cases, we have live and replay video. If you want to put in your favorite horse or trainer or jockey, or you just want a favorite, you want the results of the Kentucky Derby, when the entries come out, you just simply hit remind me, and it'll send you all the notifications that you want, the entry, the results, 15 minutes to post so you don't miss the race, the chart. So it's kind of a unique toy. At this point, it's an entertainment app, and we monetize it through a small amount of advertising. But beyond that, it's a hopefully one day it's an app that you can place wagers on and you know, utilize for betting. But at this point, we just use it to keep people informed and let them follow the sport. It's called Horses Now, and it's in the app stores, all the app stores, Android and iPhone. It's just a fun little device to be able to keep connected to horse racing.
Horses Now, Torpedo Anna, Mystic Dan, Common Defense, and Lat Long today in the Bluegrass Stakes.
They're all my favorites.
Great. Thanks for joining us on Off to the Races this morning, and good luck today in the Bluegrass.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, Ken McPeak having a big day at Keeneland, and yeah, big day last week at Oaklawn, winning four races in a single day for a trainer. That's a big accomplishment. Yeah, just in the waning moments of this delayed edition of Off to the Races, just to hand out maybe a couple of picks. The Kentucky Derby future wager is today. You can wager on the Kentucky Derby today, up to 40 interests. Number 40 is everybody other than the first 39. Deterministic is on the list. You may want to see how he runs before I putting any money behind him. Just before post time, it was he was 19-1. The current favorite, 8-5, is Fierceness, down from 7-2 in the morning line. So I'd discourage you from betting that. You're going to get better odds than that on Derby Day. Door Knock is 13-1. Horse that's also running today, so you may want to see where he ends up as well. So many other horses running today on a big day. I'll hand out my picks here in the closing minutes of the show here, and yeah, in the Bluegrass Stakes, I agree with Seth Merrow, who was on earlier today. I like Tuscan Sky, the 9 horse, going to go 9. Uncle Heavy, 13, the 13 horse in second place, and going to pick up the one horse Resilience here in the Woods. So 9, 13, 1, my picks for the Wood. In the Bluegrass Stakes, these races, the Fox will carry the Wood Memorial, the America's Day at the races. You can also see all of these on FanDuel TV. 50 degrees and cloudy, no rain involving any of the races today. There'll be a little bit of overcast weather in New York. Otherwise, it's going to be cool and clear in Kentucky and actually out at Santa Anita. In the Bluegrass States, I'm going to go with Door Knock here. The only horse that's been winning for me consistently through the Triple Crown, the Good Magic. I like that horse here. Going to pick up BU, which is a horse that Seth Merrow also talked about, and then number 10, Sierra Leone. So in the 10th race, the Bluegrass, the feature, 4-2-10, my picks in the Bluegrass. And then out at Santa Anita, where we got the morning line from John White earlier in the show, Stronghold, my pick. Phil D'Amato wins his first Santa Anita Derby, followed by Imagination, one of the Baffert horses, and then John Sheriff's and John White talked me into McVeigh as my third pick. So I'm going to go 3-4-7 in the Santa Anita Derby. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. We'll have plenty on the Kentucky Derby. The field will be nearly set as we approach the Kentucky Derby here. So want to thank everybody that was part of the show today. We had John White, we had Seth Merrow, we had Ken McPeak, Frank Vespi, Daryl Wood. Good luck on opening day there at Shenandoah up in Woodstock, and we'll talk to you next time, post time, 10 o'clock. We'll try and make it a little earlier on Off to the Races. Talk to you next week, and we'll have plenty on the upcoming Triple Crown.